Ladies and gentlemen, it's 6 o'clock, so we will commence our meeting, and I ask you all to stand for the acknowledgement of country and the opening prayer.
I would like to acknowledge that we are meeting on the Jawa people country of the Jajarung. We acknowledge that they are the traditional custodians of the land we are on and have been for many thousands of years. Here, the Jawa have performed age-old ceremonies of celebration, initiation and renewal. We acknowledge their living culture and their unique role in the life of this region, and we pay our respects to leaders past and present. And our opening prayer, Almighty God, we ask your blessing on this council. We ask that you direct and guide our work to the advancement of your glory and the true welfare of the people of the Central Goldfields Shire. Thank you very much. Please be seated.
Welcome everybody to our meeting this evening. Just by word of explanation, we are commencing this evening for the first time the recording of the council meeting, and so the recording of the council meetings will be available on council's website by about Friday, once they have been prepared. And I want to acknowledge and thank Goldfields FM, who are helping facilitate the recording of the meeting, and we'll be preparing that for loading up to Council's website. So if anybody's interested in the details of the meeting, you can hear that on by about Friday afternoon. We think we'll probably get it ready to be posted up there. So the format of the meeting is going to change just a little to make sure that the deliberations of tonight actually make sense to the people who might be listening to the recording of it, because those of you who might have been to some of our meetings previously, it wouldn't make a lot of sense if you were trying to listen to it and weren't familiar with what actually is happening. So we're going to change things just a little bit as we go through to try and accommodate those people who may be tuning in and listening. We have no apologies, as we are all present this evening. There are no leaves of absence to note. Does anybody have a conflict of interest to declare?
No.
No, there are no conflicts of interest to declare. So move on then to the first item, which is item 6 on our agenda, which is item 5 on the agenda, which is the confirmation of the minutes of the previous council meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that Council confirms the minutes of the ordinary Council meeting held on the 17th of December 2019.
Thank you very much for that. We have a second. It's been moved and has been seconded. I'm going to put the vote. Those in favour? Against? That is carried. Moving on then to item 6, which is the committees, reports from committees. And we have a couple there which have been provided to the meeting this evening. Again, we are the purpose of this particular item is to present for noting to Council the confirmed minutes of Council special committees. Special committees are set under Section 86 of the Local Government Act, and they are required to report the details of their meetings back for Council for us to receive those, and that's the purpose of this item on our agenda this evening.
So I'd like to move the recommendation, which is on page 6, and that reads that Council notes the confirmed minutes of 1, the Talbot Town Hall Special Committee meeting 15th of October 2019, 2, Adelaide Lead Hall Special Committee Annual General Meeting September 2018, and 3, Audit and Risk Committee meeting 9th of September 2019.
Okay, it's been moved, and we have a seconder.
I'm happy to second it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, just again by word of explanation, some of these seem fairly old, going back to September, October last year, but of course these are confirmed minutes, so those various committees of Council need to hold their next meeting, confirm their minutes, which are then submitted to the Council, so it does sometimes take some months before we actually receive them. But it's been moved and seconded. I'm going to put it to the vote. As in favour? Against? That's carried. Item 7 on our agenda, which is the receipt of a petition.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that the petition be received by Council and referred to the General Manager of Infrastructure Assets and Planning for action.
Been moved. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
It has been seconded. So again, for the record, the wording of the petition was, we, the undersigned, strongly oppose the mosaics being installed in Broadway, Denali. It's been moved and seconded. Receipt of that petition. I'll put it to the vote. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Officer report, item 8, where the various items under officer reports. The first one is item 8.1, which is in relation to the Assembly of Councillors. The purpose of this particular matter is to report on the record of gatherings of councillors, which is in the Act, and those meetings that have been held after the last council meeting and prior to this meeting, and we are required by the Act to report on those various assembly meetings. Now, it does refer to councillors, and again, for the benefit of those who may be listening in this evening, technically we are not councillors, but under the Act we in fact are. We are the council, and so this actually applies to us, even though we may be administrators. Okay, so the recommendation in this report is listed on page, I can't find it, here I am, on page 10. Yep.
Mr Chairman, I'd like to move that the council note the record of assemblies of councillors for the period 11th of December 2019 till the 17th of February 2020.
Okay, it's been moved. Do I have a seconder?
I'm happy to second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Put it to the vote. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Moving on to item 8.2. This is in relation to the mosaic sculptures in Denali. So the purpose of this report is to advise Council on the feedback received in relation to the placement of two community art mosaics sculptures in Broadway, Denali. Council placed an advertisement in the local circulating newspapers, a community newspaper in Denali, and on social media, proposing two sites in Broadway, Denali for the placement of two of our four community art mosaic sculptures. Two of the sculptures have been erected in the Gordon Gardens in Denali. 74 submissions, one in the form of a petition, have been received. The submissions can be broadly broken into outright objection to the locations in Broadway, objection with an alternative location, and support for the Broadway locations. The Gordon Gardens Master Plan recommended two sculptors be located on Broadway. However, after Council placed the footings in the street, some feedback was received that suggested additional consultation needed to be undertaken. And one sculpture outside 82 Broadway, Denali, would not be acceptable on historic grounds. So this report considers those locations, and I commend the officers who've done a lot of work trying to pull this one together. And it's a very comprehensive report, and the recommendation is the council needs to decide where we're going to locate these two pieces of work.
Thank you, Chair. And having been through a consultation process and having the community feedback, I do propose a different motion tonight to that one that is contained in the agenda papers. The motion is that Council, having considered the community feedback received about the proposed locations for the two community art sculptures, resolve to A, locate the Dingo sculpture on the Nature Strip area outside 118 Broadway, Denali, and B, locate the kangaroo sculpture in the Rene Fox Gardens in place of the Imagination Station art piece, which will be relocated to the Denali Arts Hub to a location that will be agreed in consultation with the committee. Thank you.
Okay, it's been moved. Do we have a second there?
I'm happy to second
that,
Mr. Chairman.
It's been moved and seconded. Do you wish to speak to your motion?
I would like to speak to my motion, and I would... you can't hear me.
That's okay.
And thank you to all those people who have made their submissions. I know this has been a very divisive issue in Denali, and I'm very sorry it's come to this. I've spent quite a lot of time in Denali in the community, and I've been discussing this with various Denali people and from people further afield, not just Denali, but people that are interested in council processes as well, and particularly about the challenges of the placement of public art. I've also heard a range of views from the submissions people that have been made in their responses to the locations, particularly of Kangaroo and Dingo. We all know these views ranged, as our chairman said, from support right through to no, not at all. And some have even included suggestions of Gordon Gardens and the Rene Fox Gardens. And, of course, there was also the petition which we have just received here formally tonight. The submissions reflect pretty much what I've heard in my conversations and trying to work out a way whereby we can comply with what is expected of putting these sculptures in public places. And whilst the council were not really involved in the creation of the artworks, we know that the contribution from that community has been significant. These pieces really should be something that the community celebrates. They're very much the story of Denali. Not only are the final pieces of value, but the time and the energy spent creating that, I think, has been enormous and needs to be respected as well. Denali District Inc. received state government funding to develop the community sculptures as part of the Centre for Regional Culture. This involved the community to be mentored in mosaic art, and they were fortunate enough to actually encourage and obtain a very prominent public artist in Deborah Halpin. And I'm sure that very fact that Deborah agreed to be involved in the project was a very pleasant surprise for the committee located in such a small Victorian rural town. Now, I certainly took an interest in watching the development of the sculptures, and I was particularly pleased to see how Deborah related to the community and especially the school children, and also her genuine appreciation of the efforts that they and the other community members had invested in completing the project. And I also was very impressed with the way that she really was gleaning the material right from Denali and the Denali community. So I think these pieces should be something for the community to celebrate, even if you're not particularly fond of that type of art. It's not just about the pieces, but it is about the effort, the time and the effort that has really gone into creating these sculptures. The artworks are to be located in a public space. Two have been placed in the Gordon Gardens, and Council is deciding tonight where the remaining two are to be located. My proposed locations, I think, are a balance of the community feedback received and are still very good locations, with Denali as far as being in a public place and easy for people to view. Thank you.
Mr. Delahunty, do you wish to make a comment?
I'll just make a few comments if I could, Mr. Chair. This has been a big issue, particularly for the Denali community, but also I have to say for the Central Goldfields Shire Council. I think I go back to the fact that this application by Denali District Inc. through the Regional Centre for Cultural Program received this money, and the project was driven by them, it was led by them, and Council were obviously involved with the consultation work in the early stages and throughout it. But I'm advised that there was about 400 community people were involved in the project through its lifetime. As you all know, Council is responsible for the decision of the location of these sculptures, as they will be on public land. But the development of the Gordon Gardens was another project we as a council were very keen to drive, and a lot of work went into the development of the Gordon Gardens. And that was adopted back in 2019. So again, the sculptures were part of that. Obviously, there's been no dispute about the Gordon Gardens location, but obviously there has been some discussion, I have to say, about the where they're located in the CBD of Denali and Broadway. I have to say one thing, and I've read a lot about it, and one thing I've really appreciated reading is an article that was in the Welcome Record, which was an overview. It's a full two-page document. I have to say that it gave me a good further update of my understanding of this project, and I really thought it was a really worthwhile document. It really highlighted to me the grant application was long and a tedious process for those involved, so I want to thank them for the work they've done. The project was titled A Sense of Place, an indication of the intervention to involve the community and have school children and members of the community groups identify what Denali represented to them. So there was a lot of work went on with that. As they picked up in their consultation work, that not everyone's taste is the same, and we all realise that. There is some in the letter. It really does give us a little bit of a tap around the ears, as they're saying, in relation to some matters, so it's not all positive from a council point of view. But I have to say, it was a really good document from the point of view that it highlighted, and I've experienced this in council, like Nadimuck, where I live over in Western Victoria, that were a bit reluctant to embrace some of the cultural changes that was happening in their community. They've embraced art, and again, I think Denali have and done with it. We've got mosaic planter boxes in the town and various things like that. But these towns have also developed festivals around it, and I think there's an opportunity for Tanoa to do that. So while I am supporting this motion, because I agree with Administrator Douglas that there's been a lot of work done by people, including our staff, but particularly the community, I think this is a good outcome for the betterment of Denali, and I really hope the community embrace this decision. And as I say, there is other opportunities that could come from it. All the best.
Thank you very much for that. Before I put the motion there, just a couple of observations I would also like to make in relation to this one, having been fairly closely involved with one all the way through this project, and acknowledge the fact that this has been a very challenging process for everybody concerned. It's been a challenging process for council, and it's certainly been a challenging process for DDI and also for the community, and I think we should all acknowledge that. There have been a lot of strong views expressed, as has been said this evening, a lot of views expressed on both sides of the point of view. And generally speaking, I have to say that those discussions have been productive and respectful of the views of others. However, in most of these instances where you have a controversial issue, particularly around public art, there's always going to be an element in every community that makes these issues unpleasant for other people. And I think we need to acknowledge that. Unfortunately, social media makes it very easy for keyboard warriors to get out there and say things about other people and other people's points of view they would not otherwise say. And I think that's a well-known fact of one of the challenges of managing social media. I have been particularly concerned by some of the seeming harassment of some of the younger members of the Dunolly community, and I have spoken to them personally as a result of that. Those younger people, members of the community, rightly wanted to express their views and tried to do so. Unfortunately, some of them decided because of what was happening, they wanted to withdraw from that discussion. And I think that's a very, very sad reflection on some members of the community who chose to attack them in that way. As again, I've contacted fourth I didn't get in touch with, there's three that I have personally contacted with and spoken and apologised for them for their experience. And I expressed to them, and they expressed to me their disappointment that people of their community could behave in the manner that they did. And I encourage them to continue to put it behind them and to continue to contribute to their community through various discussions, and they should not be discouraged by their experience. But I think that's a lesson we all need to learn. But of course, all will claim that they weren't the perpetrators and they were just expressing a point of view. But I do also know, and I think it's generally recognised now, that those people actually provide the platform for these sorts of debates and then allow these debates to continue unchecked have to take some responsibility for that. And I think we've seen a really good example of that, and I hope as a community we can learn together the responsibilities that we all have in terms of respecting other people's points of view and allowing people to express their points of view freely. I think the proposal we're dealing with that has been developed by Administrator Douglas this evening and as part of her motion is a very sound and well thought through compromise. I think it allows all parties to accept with dignity the outcome, where everybody wins a little and everyone concedes a little, and of course that includes council as well. I think that's is part of what being a community is all about. We all have to compromise from time to time to get a good outcome. I do particularly want to acknowledge the efforts of Administrator Douglas, who has worked tirelessly on this one. I know getting in the car sometimes and driving across to Denali just to attend a meeting and things like that have gone way above and beyond what could normally be expected of her, and has worked unstintingly on trying to come up with a good outcome. And I want to acknowledge that this evening. I think the other thing, important element of this decision tonight, it does still achieve the desired impact of trying to assist the economic activity in the town. If we located all these pieces of work together out of the main street, it would not achieve one of the main objectives from council's point of view that was really important. That was to move people around the town and introducing them to other businesses and exposing them to other activities around the town. I think this does achieve that. It may not be the ultimate, but it certainly will achieve that. So I think, again, that is certainly an important element in this compromise proposal that we're considering here this evening. And if this is now to be voted on, and I'm assuming it will be passed, I just hope that we can now get these items installed and the community can then move on together as they certainly have in the past, and I encourage you all to do exactly that.
You wish to say anything further?
No.
Okay. It's all been said, so we're going to put it to the vote. Those in favour of the motion? Those against? That's carried. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to item 8.3, which is the planning application to construct a levee and associated earthworks and infrastructure and utility installation at the Pyrenees Highway in Carisbrook. Just again, in terms of introduction for the benefit of those who are not in attendance here this evening, this report that we're dealing with this evening recommends that Council issue a notice of decision to grant a planning permit to be issued for the construction of stages 3 and 4 of the flood levy located at 4027 Pyrenees Highway in Carisbrook. A public notice of the application has been given by letter to adjoining landowners, placing a sign on the site and advertising on Council's website. Three objections have been received. The application has been assessed against the policy and specific controls of the planning scheme, and it is considered that the proposed development is generally consistent with the relevant scheme provisions. So that's by way of introduction. For those of you who have a copy of the agenda here this evening, the recommendation, I'm just trying to find it, is on page
25.
I'm one page off it. On page 25.
I would like to move the recommendation. The Council, having caused notice of planning application number 116/19 to be given under section 52 of the Planning and Environmental Act 1987 and the Central Goldfields Planning Scheme, and having considered all the matters generally required, determines to issue a notice of decision to grant a planning permit 116/19 in respect to the land known and described as 4027 Pyrenees Highway, Carisbrook, for the construction of a flood levee and associated earthworks and infrastructure and utility installation within the farming zone, rural living zone, public use zone, road zone category 1, the salinity management overlay, erosion management overlay and the environmental significance overlay, in accordance with the endorsed plans and subject to the following conditions. There are, I think, 20 conditions. I won't read them all out, but they are outlined on the Council report.
Okay, thank you very much for that one.
May I be to second that, Mr. Chair?
Okay. Now, do you wish to make any comments in relation to this
one? Well, I would like to make a comment because this has taken a long time to get to this stage, actually. So we've been working ever since we were appointed. This was one of the very early items that we had briefings about. The importance of it obviously speaks for itself. The floods that occurred in 10/11 were really devastating for Carisbrook. And, you know, really my sympathies are with the people of Carisbrook that have waited so long for this whole project to actually be completed. The first stages have already been done, so we're talking about the final stage, and it's really that last important part of a jigsaw, that this will be the one step now that will hopefully will tie everything together. It's going to be difficult. It's and there will be people impacted through this, so there people need to remain vigilant, and we will have to support and be very alert to weather patterns that come through Carisbrook, and I don't think whatever we did there would ever make Carisbrook flood-proof. So what we are doing is mitigating this, and hopefully if we can get this last final levy in place, it should be a big, huge relief to everybody, particularly those people who are living in Carisbrook. The people that are likely from the modelling to be impacted, the council will be, of course, responsible for any damage that may occur through that, and our emergency management arrangements will have to be very alert and make certain that there will be sufficient help and assistance to combat where we think these floods could be, again, a very problematic event. It's exciting that we've got this far. I'm sorry it's been taking so long, and there's a whole heap of reasons why that is, but it is really, I think, a very exciting thing that we have come this far.
Thank you.
Just a quick comment endorsing what Administrator Douglas has said. I think, as you rightly say, when we arrived, we were briefed on this matter and we thought need to move very quickly. Land acquisition issues and a few other things like that has taken a lot of time. But I'm pleased to say we are implementing the plan that was developed back in those days. It's been tested in a lot of areas and peer-reviewed, and I think that we, as administrators, we're keen to make sure this does progress. So we get into this stage. It's another step in the jigsaw as putting this together, as Administrator Douglas has said. First two stages have been completed. This is the final stage of the plan that was started back in 2015-16. So I'm pleased to support the motion.
Thank you very much for that. Just by word of explanation, Council is not issuing a planning permit this evening. Council can't do that. What we're issuing is a notice of decision. We have to issue a notice of decision because we have received objections. So what happens now, once we make this decision here this evening, the matter will need to sit for a further month while we wait for the process for the objectors to decide whether or not they want to challenge Council's decision. If there's a decision to proceed and challenge the decision of Council, it will then proceed to VCAT, and that may take another 6 months. Oh, we don't know that. But this is now another final piece step, not final piece, another step towards the resolution of this particular issue. Yes, we've been working very hard. This has been all these sorts of processes are very, very complex, and we have been working extremely hard. And I know some of our team are here this evening who've been working on this, and I want to say how much we appreciate the amount of work. Yeah, Ron and Lee sitting there, who've done an enormous amount of work on this for a hell of a lot longer than we have. So I want to acknowledge the work of our council staff. Rebecca, if you could pass that on to the rest of your team, how much we appreciate the work that has been put in. This is a very, very important step. It is just one step, and yes, we have a lot of work yet to do, but this, I think, is the final legal step in terms of getting the permission to go ahead now and commence construction. We are obviously continuing to negotiate with a number of parties. We are continuing to refine the levy design itself, although I think it's worth pointing out, and Mr. Delahunty did mention it, the proposal that we are actually implementing is, in fact, the very first proposal that was prepared by and adopted by the community back in 2016, I think it was, back about then. It's had a number of changes, but actually finally, as part of the process, we've ended up back where we started from. So I'm encouraged by that, and I think the community should be encouraged by the fact that this is a very important step, and they have played a critical role in developing the proposal that we are agreeing to this evening. So it's been moved and it's been seconded that we, I'm not going to read it all out, that we issue a notice of decision in relation to the Carisbrook levy, so I'm going to put it to the vote. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Moving on now to item 8.4 in relation to our library agreement. The purpose of this report is to recommend that Council writes to the Minister for Local Government requesting an exemption from the public tender process in order to negotiate a new library service level agreement directly with the City of Ballarat for a further period of 5 years.
And I would like to move the recommendation on page 31 that Council writes to the Minister for Local Government requesting an exemption from undertaking a public tender under section 186(5)(c) of the Local Government Act 1989 to allow the Council to enter into a new service agreement between Central Goldfieldshire Council and the City of Ballarat for support services to the Central Goldfields Regional Library for 1st of July 2020 to the 30th of June 2025.
Been moved.
Happy to second that.
Been seconded. Do you want to make a comment on this one?
Well, I think just a bit more explanation. It's really what we're asking the Minister to do is to enable us to actually not go through a public tender exercise, which, of course, will be both timely and expensive. We're very pleased with the service as it is from both sides. It's on all accounts, it's performing very well. The council actually runs its own library service. We have our own library here, but it is provided with support functions for the City of Ballarat as part of the Central Highlands Libraries Group. And I think there's six other shires that are party to this. And the services that extends for us then includes administration, the collection services and strategic procurement, IT services in relation to the provision of an integrated library management system and website social media updates, information services and community learning programs and promotions. It's obviously this enables us to be offer a lot more services than we would otherwise be able to do. And it is, as I said before, I think has proven that it is really value for money, this particular arrangement. So we are really asking for the minister to actually not insist on what is the procurement regime. So we may or we may not get a favourable response to this, but all of the other libraries we understand will be doing the same thing, and we hope we will be able to convince him to do this. There obviously is not many choices either that exist for us to actually be able to benefit from being a part of a bigger organisation. So I think it's very worthwhile, and fingers crossed that the Minister will see that this is in fact a sensible way to deal with this.
Mr. Dillon, no, nothing to say on that. Okay, I'm going to put it to vote. Those in favour? Against? That one's carried. Moving on now to item 8.5, which is the Northern Victorian Integrated Influenza Pandemic Plan. This is, I guess, in one sense, is quite a timely one, as these sorts of things are very much in the news at the moment right around the world, but of course is what was not driven by the coronavirus or anything like that. The purpose of this report is to recommend Council endorse the Influenza Pandemic Plan, which complements the Integrated Municipal Emergency Management Plan, which we have in place. The focus of this plan is to prescribe the municipal coordination arrangements that exist to support agencies that have responsibility for pandemics. I guess this does reflect the broad nature of issues that local government has to deal with in Australia. We are, as our report says, we are part of a cluster of councils that are working together to develop these documents, and we do work very closely with some of our neighbours around developing some of these plans, because they are in fact regional plans. So that's what this particular item is about this evening, and we have a copy of a plan that is being prepared for Council.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that Council endorse the Northern Victorian Integrated Influenza Pandemic Plan.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Do you wish to make any comments?
Just a couple of quick comments. As you've rightly said, we're included in the Northern Victorian Emergency Management Cluster with five other councils, and so it's important that we do these planning for things like making sure we understand the pandemic, the influenza pandemic that could happen, and the arrangements that are in place from the various organisations. We want to reduce the impact of influenza pandemics, and more importantly ensure that the response activities are consistent across not only councils but across also state government organisations. We've already, only a month or so, late last year it was, we had an integrated emergency animal welfare plan, which this group also developed. We've adopted that. This is another one, which, as you rightly say, can be adapted for any pandemics, and we pray that we don't have any coronavirus has come this way, but we've got to be very mindful of it. But this is a strategy, a document, and I really think it's good working together with other councils. We've got a good document, a blueprint to be able to deal with influenza pandemics.
No comment.
Okay, I'm going to put it to the vote then. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Okay, now moving on to item 8.6. This is the item in relation to the development of a skate and scooter park. The purpose of this report is to recommend that Council endorse the Princes Park as the location for the skate and scooter park, and the financial commitments associated with that park, and then also to identify the requirement to move forward in relation to sale of the existing skate park site to help fund the new proposal.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move this motion, which is a little bit different than the one in our council agenda tonight. The motion reads that this council endorse, one, a financial commitment of $393,260 for the skate and scooter park. Secondly, that Princes Park as the location for the skate and scooter park. And thirdly, officers investigate the potential sale of the existing skate park site in Majorca Road, Maryborough, and provide a report to a future council meeting.
Okay, thank you. Second that?
I'll second that.
Second that? Okay. Mr. Del Hundy, do you wish to make any comments on this one?
Mr. Chairman, I go back to when we first arrived. We didn't have too many projects, or didn't have any projects, I believe, that we could go to the state government or federal government as we were heading closely to elections. We developed what we called the Central Goldfields Shire Priority Projects. There was 8 projects on that list, and I have to say, after tonight, we have 4 that have been funded and are being implemented. If we adopt this one, that'll be a 5th one out of the 8 we had on our list. So I think I want to say to the staff and everyone, there's been a lot of work go on with these projects and a lot of support given to us by both the state and federal government. So we thank all those people for doing this. But coming back to this report, because it was one of our priority projects in that lobbying we did for state and federal government. But it came about because, as you're well aware, Mr. Chair, that it was a request given to us by a lot of young people across the town, and they wanted to build one of the best skate parks in central Victoria. We as a council appointed Convict Proprietary Limited to identify the most appropriate site, organise soil testing, conduct community consultation and prepare design plans with costings. The community consultation was conducted through July and December last year, and even as late as last Tuesday and Sunday there was further consultation down at the park held, and I'm informed by the staff that we got very positive feedback from the work that's been done. So this project, as I'm informed, meets the criteria for Sport and Recreation Victoria's local sport infrastructure fund, and if it's successful and we get the grant funding, will enable the construction to start within the 2020-21 financial year. So it's a good outcome for our young people. From a person who's been heavily involved with sport, I've always had the slogan, more people, more active, more often. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young, you need to be active, and sport is a great way of helping the obesity problem we've got in Australia, but more importantly, a great way of connecting communities. So this is a good outcome, and going back to our priority projects, Mr. Chairman, it's a great outcome for the work we did back 2 years ago. So thanks to the staff, and I hope we'll support this motion.
Yes, I would like to support Administrator Delahunty's enthusiasm for this, because it really has been, I think, one of the more fun, positive projects that we've actually been able to be involved with. The community has really, I think, initiated this to a degree with a petition that we received, I think it was in early 19. And from then the broader community got behind it as well. And I just think if you sort of want something to work well, this is almost a bit of a blueprint of what has worked here. We've involved the people designing what they wanted. The three of us, really, none of us really knew very much about what was required in a skate park these days. In fact, we were a bit surprised that skate parks were still being built, you know. So it's been, I think, a really interesting project right from the very beginning, and I think it's unfolding and it's positive and it's moving along. So well done, and I'm looking forward to the next step.
Okay, thank you very much for that one. Yes, and I obviously would like to make a couple of comments on this one as well. I think that tonight we've had two items on our agenda this evening which have involved very much an engaged and connected community. Yes, Denali was a little more challenging perhaps than this one was. But this one was a project that was initiated by the community. This was not something that we dreamt up or our rec department dreamt up. This was driven by the young people who came to us with a genuine concern about safety and about the quality of at the existing skate park. And as a result of that, sitting down with those young people on many occasions now, I've been impressed by the intelligent contributions and really thoughtful contributions that the young people of this community have made to this project. It would be very easy for our young people to sit there and come up with a wish list of things that they wanted to build as part of a new skate park. There was an element of that, but for the most part, there was a clear desire to ensure that what was established here in Maryborough, in the Central Goldfields, was able to be accessed and used by all ages. We had 25-year-olds sitting here in this room talking about, with dreads and all that sort of stuff, sitting here in this room talking about the importance of 4-year-olds learning to skate. Because as they were saying, skateboarding is now becoming a Commonwealth Games sport, and they were saying maybe we can develop a Commonwealth Games champion here in Maryborough. That was the way they approached this. It wasn't just what can we get, what can we want, what do we want, what can we build. And I was absolutely blown away by the maturity and the sensitivity that those young people have displayed throughout this process. It is a very significant financial commitment from this council, and we recognise and acknowledge that. And I think that's why there is a need to realise the asset that we have where the current park is sitting, and realise that asset and then use the proceeds of that to build a new and improved asset. So we're exchanging a worn out, unsafe facility for a much better facility and realising that asset as part of the process. Yes, it's certainly a little bit more expensive. No, significantly more expensive what we originally envisaged. But of course, when we first put this out there with those young people, we had absolutely no idea about what we were going to build, where we were going to build it, or anything like that. So it's been a process that's been unfolding, and I am absolutely delighted. And again, I acknowledge the work of Convict, one of Australia's finest skateboard park designers, who have actually come to Australia, to Maryborough, and are working all around the country and internationally, and are here designing a park for our young people. I think that's something which we should be very, very proud of. So with that, I'm going to put it to the vote that we endorse the site and the design, and also commence a process to realise the asset that is the existing skate and scooter park. So those in favour of the motion? Against? Then that's carried. Okay, moving on then to item 8.7, which is the Memorandum of Understanding in relation to the World Heritage Listing. This report is coming to Council to note. There's no action required on this one. To note the Memorandum of Understanding between 12 councils to support the Central Goldfields World Heritage Listing bid. This bid is being developed primarily by the cities of Ballarat and Bendigo, and the other 10 councils are part of that, of which we are one, and we need to put our signature on the line so that we can be part of this very exciting project moving forward, and put us on the World Heritage map, if you like, in terms of the importance of the goldfields.
I'll move the recommendation that Council note the Central Victorian Goldfields World Heritage Bid Memorandum of Understanding.
Thank you very much for that.
I'll make a second.
Yep. You wish to make a comment on this one?
It's the Memorandum of Understanding, I guess, is the first official bonding of the councils that are all involved in this. At this stage, it's not... I think we will be expending $2,000 a year for 5 years to get this bid, actually something that would then be presented to be considered. It will take a long time to do this. But for me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. When you're in a shire that's called the Central Goldfield Shire, how could you not? I mean, it just would not make any sense. And I think when you look through, particularly outside Maryborough, yes, but the smaller villages around, I think, are just so pivotal to the bid and so valuable in something like this. So I know sometimes when you are involved with bigger towns like Ballarat and Bendigo, there's a bit of a fear that, you know, you might be a little bit small and a little bit sidelined. But I think in this particular instance, I think we've got some real treasures here that we can really hold our head high. So I hope I live long enough that we actually do get to be classified.
I hope you do too. It does take some time, but I hope it's not that long.
I think it will take a long time.
Indeed. I mean, it's been working now for a couple of years already. I suspect we probably have at least another 5 to go before we get to that point, but we'll wait and see. Okay, it's been moved. Were you seconding
it? I just want to make a quick comment. Yep. I think this is another...
But you're going to second it.
I'll second it for a start. And I just want to say that tourism is obviously a very important industry, many in Western Victoria, and I think this is Administrator Douglas has said this opens up another opportunity of attracting people to our shire, so I'm strongly supporting it.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't think I need to say any more. It's been very well expressed. I'm going to put it to the vote. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Moving on to item 8.8. This is the evaluation report in relation to the energy breakthrough, which was held late last year. So the purpose of this report is to recommend Council note the evaluation and review of the 2019 energy breakthrough as part of the energy breakthrough charter requirements.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that the Council notes the 2019 energy breakthrough evaluation meeting review.
You're going to second that? And I'm sure Mr. Delahunty has something to say about this one.
Oh, look, this is a very, very important event for not only our shire, but for the state of Victoria. Really, it is a major event. Energy Breakthrough is jointly managed by not only the council, but also the Country Education Partnership. through a special committee of council, which is, as Administrator said here at the start, a Section 86 committee. But it is the largest, longest-running science, technology, engineering and maths, or commonly known as STEM educational program in the country. We must remember this is really focused in on the education of a lot of students, and students come from far and wide to attend that special event, the celebration event here in Maryborough. But following the, and as I'll have to say, it's been running for 29 years, so it's we go into our 30th year next year, and it attracts a lot of people, as we say, around about 23,000 visitors each year. But following the event for the last 2 years, we've had RM Consulting Group engaged to facilitate a consultation session with many parties that are involved with running the event, whether that be staff, participants, volunteers. All those people are invited along to this meeting. It was held in, when was it, 13th of December last year, and they put together a very important document which has got some very good complementary things. There's also other things we need to improve on. But overall, the achievements were many from last year's event. Everyone worked together particularly well under a lot of pressure, particularly in the weather event that we held, what happened on the Thursday. The participants, staff and volunteers were happy with the way the event was run. The schools, from an educational aspect, they were very satisfied with the strong turnout, but more importantly, the outcomes from the event. The volunteers felt rewarded and enjoyed assisting in the event. There was great teamwork, particularly with the setup. But importantly, safety was promoted. And I want to highlight the fact that last year's event, there was 5 people required urgent care, and only one of those was racing-related. So I think that's a lot to be thankful for. And I want to say to a lot of the volunteers particularly, there's an enormous amount of work that goes into this. I know our staff and the various groups that put in a lot of work, but it is a very important event. There's a lot of work going on in the planning for this year's event. In fact, talking with the country education people today, they've sent out a memorandum to inform the schools. The event is on again at Maryborough, and there will be information provided to them in the next couple of weeks for them to make their application for this year's event. So again, it is a good step forward. We've done our business case, again, one of those priority projects that was funded by the state government. And these, the report we got back from this consultation will assist not only in the evaluation of the event, but it also helps us align with the recommendations of the business case. The committee, the Section 86 committee, are working to implement these recommendations in time for this year's event. And I want to say again, thank you to a lot of people for what is a special event here in Maryborough.
Okay, thank you very much for that one. Do you wish to make any comments on this one?
Well, I'd like to congratulate the committee because I think really there's been quite a change in this event, and I think it's now becoming much more of a sophisticated, able to absorb and observe new trends. New ideas are welcomed. And I think it's wonderful to see that this is really maturing into a much more business focused, and to be able to go through such an evaluation to draw sensible conclusions from it is really, I think, to be admired. And I mean, I think Administrator Delahunty has covered all of the aspects, but this particular event involves something like 800 volunteers, and they're mainly from our community. And they really deserve the very best organisation behind their efforts. I think that they're entitled to that. So I think this is really growing, and I congratulate Administrator Delahunty. He leads this committee, and I think they're doing really fantastic work.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to put the vote then. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Moving on then to from a very exciting item to one that's just a little less exciting, but nonetheless very important. This is in relation to Council's land fence policy. This is just one of the many policies that we have been developing and adopting since we have been here. The purpose of this report is to update Council on the outcome of the consultations on the land fence policy and to present a final version of the policy for adoption here this evening. The purpose of this policy is to provide the community with a clear understanding of when council will provide a financial contribution towards the cost of replacement, repair and or maintenance of a private boundary fence that adjoins council-owned land. So this is only applies to council and how council manages affairs when it comes to fencing. This does not impact on residents other than those residents that adjoin council-owned land.
So I'll move the recommendation that Council 1, adopt the Council Land Fence Policy. 2, acknowledge and thank the Community Voice Panel for their contribution and feedback regarding the policy.
Happy to second that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do you have a comment you wish to make?
Very short comment. I think it may not be very exciting, but hopefully it will make things much clearer when these situations do arise, and it's great to have the policy to turn to.
None further comment? OK, I'm going to put it to the vote. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. OK, item 8.10, which is a report to the council and to the community on council's progress in relation to our action plan. The council adopts an action plan for each calendar year or for each financial year, and this year, of course, we, at the start of this financial year, we adopted an action plan which outlines the activities the council will be involved in over the coming year. And as part of our regular reporting to council and to the community, we have an update which is provided by our chief executive in terms of our progress in achieving the objectives that we set as part of that action plan. And you will see it's a very clear spreadsheet that outlines a whole range of activities and how we're proceeding. And there are some which are almost there already, but there are some which are possibly delayed a little, and the explanation is to there about what is going on and when we can see some of these projects being delivered. So again, I encourage the community to access this plan, which I'm sure is on our website. Yes, it is. Yes, I'm sure it is. To have a look at, and I guess the updates will be there as well to make sure you are up to date with the activities. And if you're frustrated by lack of action on one of the activities that we've committed to, you'll find the information there as to about why it may not be proceeding or and when it may be expected to be done. So the motion is there on page
49.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that Council notes the 2019-20 Action Plan Progress Report to the 31st of December 2019.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. You wish to make any comments on this
one? Quick comment. You spoke about the fact that this action plan, our 2019-20 Action Plan, it was adopted at a council meeting on the 25th of June last year. This is the first progress report after 6 months of action. There are 93 actions identified in the plan. 28 of those are completed and ongoing. 63 are underway and 2 are not yet commenced. One of those is the youth hub strategy. But as you know, we've got a pop-up youth hub operating out of the town hall. And so there's some work going on in that area at this stage. But the action plan is something that we, as a council, gives us something to work towards and our council staff. And I'm pleased to say that out of those, 28 are completed. As I said, 63 are underway and we've only two of them are not started. So it's a good report, but more work to be done.
Yep, okay, I'm going to put it to vote. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. And Madam CEO, can I ask that you take our congratulations to your staff for the work that they do in delivering a very significant program under, there's lots of challenges happening within the organisation, but it's business as usual in terms of our actions and their plans, and I commend our staff, your staff, for the work that they do in delivering for the community. Okay, let's move on then to item 8.11, which is about our finances. We have a report to each council meeting in relation to our finances and how we're progressing against the budget. It's always a very comprehensive report and has lots of detail and very valuable information in there, and I'm sure Administrator Douglas is going to talk a little bit about some of those because he's about to move the receipt of the finance report, I believe.
I am. I am going to recommend that Council receives and notes the attached 31st of December 2019 financial report showing progress against the budget.
Seconded.
Just
and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here. It's still really our financial report seems to reflect each time we report. It's all about timing, when grants come in, when they don't come in, all of that. And I suppose for me, I am always concerned, even when you're looking at a very healthy financial situation, which is at the moment, you've got to make sure that the capital works do happen. Which I'm pleased to note that they are. So there is nothing here that really that is anything, I think, that is out of the ordinary. Some of the shortfalls are covered with some of the grants that have now come in. The capital works are going along, and I really don't think I can make that any more exciting than to say that there's really no issues in the conclusion. There's no issues for concern. However, it is impacted by timing of the following, which is the grant revenue, the waste disposal expenditure, which has been ongoing now, transport expenditure, and the delivery of the capital works program. And that's really, I think, all for me.
Okay, thank you. Do you wish to make any comment, Mr. Delahunty? No comment there. The only comment I would make is I'd urge the members of the gallery and listeners to this meeting to have a look at the success we have had in relation to attracting grants. A lot of we have an extraordinary success rate in attracting money from other levels of government, and that is certainly all to the benefit of our community. And we've really lifted our game in relation to grant applications and successful grant applications. So I'm going to put it to the vote. Those in favour? Against, then that's carried. Item 9, with documents for sealing or confirmation report of decisions that council made previously. Again, for the benefit of our listeners, this is report presented to council for noting only. The documents have been signed under council's common seal, and that was agreed, and the direction was given to our chief executive to sign various documents at the council meeting back in December. So this report comes back to council to tell us that in fact those documents that we approved have in fact been signed.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that council note that S11A, Instrument of Appointment and Authorisation, was signed and sealed by the Chief Executive Officer under delegation on behalf of council in accordance with the following resolutions of council made on the 17th of December 2019. There are three dot points here in the report here tonight, and they form part of the resolution or the recommendation or the motion, I should say, that I'm moving here tonight.
Thank you very much. We second that.
I'll second that.
Has been seconded. Do you wish to say anything on this one? No. All we said?
No.
Mr. Douglas, no.
No.
Okay, I'm going to put the vote. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Okay, moving on to item 10, which is the notice of motion. There are no notices of motion this evening. Item 11 is urgent business. There's been no urgent business listed this evening. Item 12, which is confidential business. There is no items of confidential business listed for this evening. Which brings us to item number 13, which is our meeting close, and it's our meeting closing at 7:02. Something of a record. I think it's our record longest meeting by about half an hour this evening, but I think it does reflect the changes, as I explained at the start of the meeting, making sure we explain a little more to those people who may be listening and not in attendance. So I thank the gallery for your attendance here this evening.